You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, and welcome to The Compass, the podcast documenting the struggles of life as an artist. I'm Leah Walsh. My guest today is Phil Pickens. Phil is an incredible musician and songwriter. We went to the University of Evansville together, and I'm very excited to have him on the podcast and hear a little bit about his process and his experiences training as an actor and now pursuing music. I hope you enjoy the 24th episode of The Compass. For coming today, Phil.
Thanks for having me.
So what do you do to try to keep yourself from going to the dark side as an artist?
I try to stay very busy.
Yeah.
Try to avoid the dark side. And that could be like anything, whether it's writing a song or seeing a friend's play or just getting outside and walking around, taking a run, I don't know, just doing anything that I don't feel like I'm void of.
Mm-hmm. What is it when you are feeling like you're going to the dark side? What does that mean for you? What does it feel like?
I guess it's just a feeling of anxiety. Just yeah. Feels like there's some type of timer on myself and I'm about to implode or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just like when I get that kind of feeling, it's like I gotta run away from it. I gotta do something. Sometimes it's easier to do one thing than the other. That's a little frustrating at times. But, you know, just trying to keep your mind off of it, I guess.
Are there times when, because are you only pursuing music right now, or are you pursuing acting as well?
Just music.
Just music, mainly.
Yeah.
Are there times when you feel like you can't, like you just can't pick up your guitar and like, work on something to get out of that place?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, like with my day job, you know, there'll be like certain periods of times where it's impossible. So yeah. I have to kind of like prep myself and know that like for 2 weeks, like this is not going to happen. And I just have to kind of be okay with that. But then it's also like, because I know what those times are, like I can kind of prep in a way, like before and after, and be like, all right, I got to get this and this and this, this done. And then have game plan, so when I'm out of that, I can...
You can take advantage of the time that you do have.
Exactly. And then, like, try to do something... Like, sometimes I have to travel for work, so I'll be out of the country for a couple weeks. And, I mean, I guess I could bring my guitar, but most of the time I'm working from, like, 8 a.m. to, like, 8 p.m. Then, like, when I get back, like, I don't want to do anything. So it's, like,
yeah.
It's a little frustrating. Then, like, I miss the instrument, or I miss, like... the act of like writing something. So then I'll just, I don't know, like I'll go to the gym on those days or something like that, or listen to new music. Or,
mm. Yeah. What is your day job right now? Is this the same place you've been at for a long time?
Yeah, forever.
Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what that is?
I work for a fashion company.
Mm-hmm. Fancy.
Fancy. It's not as glamorous as it sounds.
But it's like a full-time,
yeah,
9-to-5 type gig.
Yeah, more like a 9-to-6 kind of gig. I think all 9-to-5s have kind of transitioned to works. Yeah. But it's a full-time gig, and then I work for wholesale, so I work with different buyers from like department stores, specialty stores across North America, and try to sell them some clothes.
How has it been? How long exactly have you worked there? That's the first question.
I guess like 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that pretty much the whole time you've been in New York?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got it through a temp agency, and that was like I was going around to different things. I was working in real estate for a little bit, and I was at like VH1 HR department for a little bit, and then and then I went to work. Like in the fashion world, they have like two markets. They have like a fall winter collection that we sell, and then a spring summer. So I worked on those markets, and then they had me on after that. So.
And what is that? How? What have the positives been about this job as far as allowing you to work on your music?
I mean, I guess the positives have been that it's still in like a creative mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you see the shows and they're inspiring, you know, you see like these crazy like gowns or suits or whatever, and you know that they came from an idea.
Right.
So it's exciting to be a participant in that way. It's also, you know, it's a, you know, there's an artist mentality, I guess, that still runs through it. So, you know, if I have a gig or if I have something to do, like they're a little more flexible or
that's good
with me doing that.
Yeah. They support that you're also pursuing something else.
Yeah. And then the first couple of years I wasn't full time. I would just kind of come in as a freelancer. And so like at that point, like when I was still pursuing acting, I was able to go do shows.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as it like didn't conflict with those two major markets, it worked out. And then, like, as I kind of transitioned to music, I was like, well, I should kind of just do this full time, help make the rent.
Yeah.
and music, for the most part, is at night or the weekend, so it's something I can try to juggle.
Right. There's not as much of the, like, oh, can you audition tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Going on.
Yeah. And that would stress me out.
Yeah.
When I was doing that, I was just, like, trying to explain that all the time. I just feel like I was always being an inconvenience
to somebody.
Yeah.
So does it give you a kind of stability? Do you feel like gives you enough financially that you're like, okay,
yeah, well, I mean,
I can allow myself to
creature of habit. So
yeah.
Like, it's kind of nice to like have a schedule. Like, no, like this is where I have to be Monday, and you know, throughout the week, like these are my hours, and then I can juggle everything around that. So for that, I like it.
So since you moved to New York, what was that transition from acting and musician to now focusing just on music? Was there a moment where you're like, oh, this is what I really want to be doing?
I guess so. I mean, I guess it sort of evolved. I mean, I always played music, and like I played music in high school. I mean, I started playing guitar when I was 10, so it was always just like something that I always had with me. And then going to school for acting, like when it wasn't studies or acting, I was like somewhere playing the guitar. And that for me was like always just like a source of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something that it was just like something I could release, you know.
Were you always songwriting as well, or were you mostly playing other people's music? Like back in college,
I've always played my own music. I've done like
awesome
covers, but even like when I was first learning, I mean, I would do like I was taking like proper classical guitar lessons, and then I went into jazz, and so I was like learning all that, and then when I fell into jazz, then it was like improv, and then improv kind of led into like writing, and then that just opened up a whole new world. It was like, oh, you know, you can do anything, you can be creative, and I was like, oh, let's add some words.
That's cool. As an actor, that seems like the natural progression.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think like, and then, and then going to school for acting, that was kind of a cool way to get in touch with like characters, like in the heads characters and stories and all that, and I think think that also like influenced how I'd write a song, you know, and then that became just like kept evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after college, I went right into an apprentice program at Actors Theater, which is awesome. And, you know, I spent, you know, that time was great because it was like getting to see like all the workings of the theater, like seeing all the different, like how all the gears fit together, which I had never really seen, I guess,
mm-hmm.
to that scale.
And that's such a great theater too.
Yeah. And even through that process, like I would just continue to, you know, play music in my apartment. I always just kind of used it as a kind of just a therapeutic kind of thing, you mm-hmm. know? And then when I moved to New York, I think, because I went straight from college to Actors Theater in New York. Then when I got here, I was just kind of like, man, this place is huge, and this is scary as shit.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like it was hard to have a voice here, I guess, to start.
And there's so many people.
There's so many people. And there's so much great art, and then there's also so much bad art. And then, like, I don't know, just kind of seeing all that put together, and then, you know, like, after, like, a week or so, and being like, well, I should probably find a job. No one's paying me to show up. I don't know why.
Why is that? Damn
why
it.
Is that? But then, yeah, then I was just kind of juggling both, you know, and I think, like, music was still, like, therapy, I guess, for me, and
mm-hmm.
was, you know, working on the audition circuit, and then I was asked to go back to Actors Theater for a show, and that was awesome. And then it went from, like, being 2 months, like, being creative, you know, which is amazing. This is, like, liberating feeling of just, like, I get to wake up today, I get to do this play, I can wake up the next morning, I can write, I can do whatever, I go back, I do this play, like, and just, like, doing that for, like, a month and a half was, like, awesome. And then I had to pack my bag and go back to New York. And I was like, man, this sucks. And I think through all of that, I realized, like, the one thing that I always had was music. And then I got the idea, I was like, oh, maybe I should share it. You know, like, maybe this is, like...
Just sort of, one day out of the blue.
Yeah.
Since you'd been playing since the age of 10.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, maybe this is, like...
Hmm.
You know, it's just funny. It's like, oh, yeah, music, that's going to be, you know, financially rewarding. You know? But it was just something that was, I felt like I had more control of.
Yeah.
You know, like I could, you know, whether I got the part or not wasn't up to me, but whether I went home and wrote a song was totally up to me.
Yeah.
And I liked having that control and, like, being a part of it. Like, I like the process of that, you know? That was the thing I liked about Actors Theater. It's all about new works and stuff like that. Like, that was just so cool to me. It's like, what can we, like, build?
From scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes as an actor, you can't decide, like, what part you're going to play or what you're going to be able to do. And
wouldn't that be great if we could?
I know. I don't know. Maybe, like, somewhere in the back of my mind, I thought I could do that.
I'll play all these great parts that I've always wanted to play.
Exactly. But, and then I think when I started, like, getting into, like, one, or the idea of, like, oh, I should share this, I want to pursue this, I want to get more serious about writing songs, I want to do this in a more legit way, I think I decided that I needed to, like, take away the acting element a little bit. I needed to focus on one thing.
Right.
You know? So if I get home from, you know, the day job at 6, or, you know, by the time I get home 7, then if I'm going to go back to work, what am I going to go back to work on?
And right.
The idea of juggling both that was too complicated for me.
So what is the process for you, like, to have this control of being able to, you have the control to go home and write a song? How does that all start for you? Is it usually more of, like, improvising on the guitar, or is it like, oh, I have a lyric idea that
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Or is it all different?
Yeah. Different. Yeah, they all kind of present themselves in different ways. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, when I first started doing it, it was a lot easier to get to the dark side because I didn't know how to do it. I was just trying to figure out how to do it. So then, like, I would just get stuck on, like, one phrase or, like, one idea, and it would just, like, haunt me for, like, days.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get out of it. And then, like, the more I do it, the more I realize, like, no, this isn't, like, you know, I'm not going on David Letterman tomorrow. I'm like, this is fine. Like, this is, like, this song doesn't have to be that precious. Like, if it's right. not, you know, I shouldn't consume that much time right now. I could work on other things. I could work on a new song, you know? It's, like, better to have 200 bad songs.
Or, like, sketches.
Sketches. Yeah. To get to one great idea than just focus on one okay idea.
Now you play with, like, a band.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're awesome.
The Astronauts? Is that what they're called?
That's what I call them.
It's your pet name?
Yeah, that's my pet name.
What has that been like to kind of build a band to play your music?
It's been awesome. I mean, it's been really great because I work with some stellar musicians and just all around great guys.
Mm-hmm. Like,
so, you know, and they all come from theater backgrounds as well, which is great. So it's like when we get in the room with a song, you know, like, you know, I could go in, I say, like, okay, this is the bass part, or this is that, but, like, really what we do is I come in with a song, and then we just experiment with it, and we just kind of, so everyone, like, creates their own parts, and so we kind of, you know, build it from the ground up, and that's what's really exciting, because, like, an idea that I would have for, like, the bass guitar, or, like, an electric riff, you know, like, I'll be like, oh, that's cool, but then, like, they'll come in with their own idea, and I'll be like, oh, man. Never
right.
thought of that. That is so cool. So that's been super exciting.
The collaboration part.
Yeah, definitely.
And when did you decide that that was something you wanted? To not just play solo?
I mean, I think a little bit started when I was just trying to initially get gigs in the city. And so at the time, I asked one of my friends, I was like, oh, how do you get a gig? and that friend was like, here's how you do it, and you want me to play with you? Like, sure.
So how do you do it, for others' information?
Well, you find a venue that you want to play at,
mm-hmm.
that you can feasibly play at that point, you know? And, like, for me, it was my first... I don't know, I have, like, some different small gigs that I would get billed off, like, I would get it on the bill through other people. As far as, like, establishing my own bill, I went through some friends that had already played at this venue. They knew the booking agent. They just said, hey, you know, just say, like, you know, we say good things, and, you know, I got a good spot, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so that's exactly how it happened. I just emailed the guy. I said, hey, you know, and just gave a big window. You know, it wasn't like, can I play tomorrow at 6? You know,
right.
Like, anytime this month.
Anytime.
I'll
play the lunch.
Yeah, exactly. I will work it out.
Yeah.
And so then from that, then, you know, you go there and you be respectful of the venue and staff, and I think, like, everything else.
Is it the kind of thing where you have to promise, like, I'll bring 30 people with me or something?
Yeah,
like 30 audience members.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, they definitely want acts in there that are gonna fill up the bar, that are gonna, you know, make the money. I mean, that's what they're there for, you know. So, you know, there was a little pressure of that. Then, like, the great thing is, like, having great friends to support you, you know, and, like, you know, not being afraid to reach out and be like, I really need you guys to come. I need to make a good impression
right
at this venue. I'd like to be asked back, you know, and then that also, like, increases your chances of having other people that don't know your music come, and then more people to see it.
Are there any favorite venues of yours now that you've been playing for a while in the city?
I mean, I always go back to Rockwood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's, like, I think it was one of the first venues that I walked into in New York, and I was just like, oh, this is amazing.
It's got a great vibe.
It's got a great vibe. You feel like you're in the room with the artist.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like it's conversational. It just feels so connected. And then the fact that they have it, someone play every hour, it's like, you know, if something's not your cup of tea, you just have to give it a second. next band might be great. And they do a great job of bringing in great people.
Can you tell me a little bit about where you're from originally?
Yeah, from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Just kind of a suburban town east of Atlanta, about 20 minutes outside.
That's pretty close. That's pretty close to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Did you spend a lot of time in the city? Is there a big music?
Yeah, once I had a car.
Music scene there.
Once I had a car, I was there all the time.
Yeah.
But it's pretty spread out, so it's like not something you can like walk around and do all those things. But even like back then, there was a place in Decatur called Eddie's Attic. It's still there, and it's fantastic. And it's another like singer-songwriter intimate room. I don't know. I guess I'm just like drawn to that format. I just find it highly addicting.
Yeah.
I would go there all the time in high school, all the time.
What kind of bands would you see there?
I would see anything from, rock and jazz, soul, any show that we could get into,
That was under 21.
and they were pretty good about it, too, at that time, yeah.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I have a brother and two sisters.
And what does your family make of you pursuing music as a career?
They're very supportive.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. They're super supportive. My mom's always like, make sure you have plan B. Like, that's what she's always said. But now I realize, I mean, it's like, I guess I do have plan B. It's called this full-time job. It's like I'm doing A, B, C, D,
Well, especially since you've been at the same place for so long. It's definitely a solid plan B.
Exactly. So.
But no one else in your family has kind of gone this route?
No. Yeah, I think my dad would have liked to have been a musician. In fact, we got guitars at the same time.
Really?
We were, trying to, learn together.
Uh-oh.
And then, I guess I just picked it up.
It's easier when you're a kid to pick up new things like that.
Yeah.
Languages, instruments.
School.
Right.
Responsibilities
are much lower at that point.
Yeah, and I was a latchkey kid, so, as soon as I got home, it was just like, all right, guitar time. So.
And you're married to an artist as well.
Yes.
An actor,
yes.
Among other things.
Yes.
So what is that like for you guys? Do you kind of find a way to encourage each other?
Yeah, definitely.
When you're juggling I'm going to go off and do the job I'm not crazy about for 8 hours and then...
Yeah.
I'll see you on the other side.
Exactly. And it's good to have... it's been great that way because, we get it, It's we have a good understanding of, what it is, and when it can be so frustrating to not to do the thing that you love all the time.
Right.
And that can, can bog either one of us down, and then, I think, we do a pretty good job of either giving each other the space to, get out of that on our own behalf, or, trying to...
I know Frankie and I try to, we kind of have a rule that we can mostly follow where it's like if one of us is down, the other one can't be down too. It's like one or the other, or if we're both down at the same time, it's a mess.
That's the worst.
Yeah, we try to stick to that.
Yeah.
So that the whole household doesn't go under at the same time. Have you guys gotten to collaborate on any stuff together?
Yes. We do a holiday album.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we call it the Sugar Plum.
How did that start?
It started because her old roommate is a bass player.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the time, I was five blocks away. I'd invested in some recording equipment in my apartment that I've been able And so, I don't know whose idea what it was, but we're like, well, we're all here. Like, let's like pick like four songs and make a holiday album. And so I started with 1 year, and then so now it's just been tradition. So we just every year we kind of frantically get ourselves together.
Like, what Christmas carols can we cover?
I know. Like, I think this past year we were trying to be more responsible about it and try to think of those things like in the fall. And it's really hard to think about the holidays during that time. But, like, you know, just like to kind of spit out ideas and say, yeah, what about this song or this song? And then it usually just happens like the week before the holidays. Just like, everything's been crazy.
Right. So what are you working on right now? I know I saw a Facebook invite today for an upcoming Rockwood show.
Yes.
But I think that you had mentioned that you just recorded something, or you're about to record something. Or...
Yeah, I'm in the process of recording. So last week of January, we went into the studio for a couple of days, and we did like basic tracking for three songs, and just something that I kind of wanted to do. I kind of wanted to divide up the idea of creating an entire album in a week, I guess. Like, I wanted to like space it out a little bit, just so like everyone had a little time to breathe. And
So what does basic tracking mean for my actor brain?
It's just basically we were kind of all set up in the room, all, you know, plugged in. We played the songs. It's just basically like the core of the song. And then after that, then there can be things for like overdubs, certain things that you don't want to record as you're doing it. Like, sometimes if there's like a background vocal but you want to have the piano isolated, you'll just feed in the background vocals later. You'll do that as a secondary option. And then it was also fun because there's also like different instruments that you can kind of play with that, like, besides like what we can do at a live show, to say like, oh, well, for this recording, wouldn't it be cool if we did this?
Like, if everybody's playing two different instruments
on
that track?
Like the idea that everyone could have like eight hands, like, them and like throw in a different idea. Not all of them like stick to the wall, but it's fun to like create something that's a little different, a little exciting. You know, nothing that like is going to like change the integrity of the song, but just something to, you know, have a little ear candy.
Yeah. So how did you learn about all this technical, like, recording stuff? Was it just through trial and error, or playing around in your own apartment? Or
I mean, I recorded an album, I don't know, I guess it was, like, embarrassingly, like, 5 years ago. And but in that process, like, I was very involved in, like, the mixing stage with the producer. So I got to, like, see, like, step by step, like, what he was doing and blah, 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 blah. So I was like, all right, I'm going to get this program. And then just kind of started, like, reading a lot of books, watching a lot of tutorials, like, just trying to, like, figure it out. And then, which has been great because it's we've been able to, like, demo this material. So, like, I can have a rough cut of, like, what all these songs are, like, the shape of them. And make it sound the best that I can in my apartment, you know. And then, like, we're able to go into the studio and we know exactly what we're going to do. We know exactly, like, what the format is. Like, there's no questions about, like, what the performance is going to be. We can,
So I'm sure it's different from playing a live show.
And, like, for this case, like, we're all playing together, but, you know, we're all looking at each other. But there's also, like, a little bit of isolation, you know, just so certain things don't bleed. So, you know, when... You know, just to mix it, like, things don't interfere, you know? So if there's, like, it would be bad if there's, like, this huge kick drum sound on my vocal and then...
Right. So is that kind of... Are you kind of being the outside ear, or do you have, like, a producer that you trust to kind of be keeping an eye on all of that?
I have a producer that I trust. Yeah. Which I think is awesome because, like... And I guess it's kind of been the whole thing with this... collaborative process too, with like having a band, like they can bring in their ideas, I can bring in my ideas, and then now we have someone that can hear this from an outside perspective with a outside opinion, that's with these songs that are relatively new to him, you know. And so I think that's been like extremely helpful, having that kind of
So you're recording right now, and I saw that you entered the NPR Tiny Desk concert online. You made a video for that, right?
Yeah, and that was like right before we went into the studio, so I was like, well, we need to practice this song.
So let's just do it.
So we're going to go to, so we went over to Justin's house, and then we, and then I had Ashley like bring the camera. I was like, are you, you're going to be the camera lady, and we're just going
to... See, this is the bonus of being married to another artist. You have another set of hands. But it seems like, especially in this age of like social media and being able to put like film of yourself out there and audio of yourself out there online,
right,
you kind of have to be your own publicist and your own producer in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
is that, something that's exciting to you or overwhelming, or like, how have you juggled that? Are you still figuring it out?
Yeah, still figuring it out. I mean, yeah, that's the other thing. Like, they don't tell you. You know, it's like after work. I mean, because you want to like allow some time to be creative, but then also like you realize like how important like all those things are to know. And I guess you know, like in some cases, like there's other people to do that for you. And but I think it's important that everyone is aware of like how that works. Like, so I've been kind of excited to like get to know that process or just try to research about that process. And so that kind of takes a little bit of the burden off too. Like, so if I'm traveling and I can't play guitar, I'm like, well, you know, I can do some research.
Yeah.
I can take this time to do that.
Can find 10 people that I want to send this recording to when it's done.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Exactly. I can figure out how to make a, you know, a YouTube presence. How to get more Twitter followers. Blah, 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 blah.
Are you on Twitter?
I am. I don't even know why. I don't know. There was like this thing was just like, here's all the social networks your band needs to be on. And then all of a sudden, like, I found myself on all of them and not using any of them.
When you do feel yourself, like, going to the dark side and you're having that day where you just don't feel inspired, like, is there anything concrete that you reach for again and again that helps you get out of it? Like, a book you always read or an album you go back to or a place you like to go?
I mean, I think mostly I like to get out of my apartment.
Yeah.
So I'll start there. I'll get out of my apartment. And then, like, yeah, I think it could be anything about, like, I mean, I think friends are great for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meeting and connecting with friends. And, yeah, music. I listen to music every single day. So that always helps. You know, I don't think there's, like, a particular album. I don't think there's a particular book or a particular walk. But I just know that I have to get out of my own head.
Yeah.
So like whatever that is that I can do that, the better, you know. Yeah, or I'll I've been like painting recently. Like I found that to be very nice.
That's a new endeavor?
Yeah, a new endeavor. My mom,
that's cool.
My mom was she's always painted like throughout the year, so like so we would like do like little projects when I was a kid, but then I didn't really do anything after that. And then I think there was like a point where we just didn't have like anything up on the walls in our new apartment. I was like, oh, we need some artwork. And then we were like shopping for artwork. I was like, that's expensive. And then I was like, let's go to Michael's to get some canvases. And then like, I mean, just started painting. And then I was like, oh man, this feels great. This is awesome. So that's been kind of like a nice other, method.
Outlet.
Yes.
Yeah. What kind of paint are you using?
Just acrylic, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy. And then, like, most of the times, like, I don't know, for me, like, I don't really paint anything. Like, I might have a specific idea, but I won't paint anything that's, I don't know, it's usually pretty abstract. And I usually just kind of, like, let the paint do what it wants. And then mm-hmm. I'm just like,
you're just dancing with the canvas.
Exactly, yeah. Pretending like I'm Pollock or something.
Well, now I need to come over and see your new apartment and see what all the artwork looks like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you seen any shows, like theater shows or concerts lately that you want to recommend?
Let's see. Well, I went to the Beacon Theater for the first time. I don't know that. That's sad to say. I don't even know why I had a been there before. But Ashley took me to a Josh Schroeder concert, and I love Josh Schroeder. And that was just great. It was also great because there was a venue where, I mean, it's huge, but, like, you sit down. You know, like, listen to the lyrics. And,
yeah.
Like, you know, you don't feel like you're in this, like, environment where you're, like, have to stand up, and then, like, most of those venues, like, I feel, like, obligated to have a beer in my hand if I'm standing or something.
So you have that activity.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, at the Beacon, like, hey, just sit down, listen to the music, everyone claps, some people dance.
Yeah. You know, it's a nice venue.
Yeah, it's great. It sounds wonderful. But I highly recommend Josh Schroeder. He's a great artist. And then, I don't know, there's a couple things that I'm looking forward to seeing. We're going to go see Noises Off tomorrow.
Lovely.
So excited to see that. And then also want to go see Marco's new play.
I was going to ask if you had seen it yet.
No, I got to see it.
I know it just opened on Monday.
Yeah.
Our friend Marco Ramirez's new play, The Royale, is at Lincoln Center Theater. We saw a preview maybe 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. It's great. So great.
He's fantastic.
And it's so rhythmic, just like, is it I Am Batman or I Am Not Batman?
Not Batman.
I Am Not Batman.
Yeah.
Just like that play that you did back at Actors Theater.
Yeah.
It involves like a lot of percussion and a lot of percussive sounds and language.
Yeah.
I would highly, highly recommend it. Well, Phil, thank you so much for talking with me. It's such a pleasure. Phil was kind enough to send me a sketch of a new song he's writing called Streets of London. This kind of recording is part of his process to record this kind of sketch once he has the initial lyrics and chords worked out with a new song. I'm so thankful he decided to share this with us.
Of my heart, so thin and so taut, I'd rather call in late than not show up. I'd rather give myself away than be bought. But when the sun gives herself colors me crazy, she colors me gray. And on the moon's sweet return, she colors me pretty, she calls me plain. Fearful, we do just fine with our hearts pinned to our sleeves on the streets of London. Is where we'll be on the streets of London. Is where we'll be. When the sun gives herself away, she colors me pretty, she calls me to play. And on the moon's sweet return, where she calls me crazy, she color me gray. Gives herself away, she colors me crazy, she colors me gray. And on the moon's sweet return, where she colors me pretty, she calls me to play. Oh, she colors me pretty, and she calls me to play. Something like that.
Thank you for listening to the Compass Podcast. I'm Leah Walsh. More episodes are coming soon. Please look for us on Facebook and iTunes. I'd like to thank the following people for their generosity. The Compass cover art is by Kim Miller, music by Brendan Spieth, audio assistance from Nick Choksi, and a special thanks to Frankie J. Alvarez. See you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.